Good evening. I call this May 2nd, 2023, meeting of the Planning Commission to order. My name is Darrell Bolziger. I am the chairman of the Planning Commission. It's my pleasure to welcome you tonight. This is a public meeting, and you are encouraged to take part. Please participate, ask questions, share your thoughts. We have several rules to keep us to proceed with an orderly meeting, and I ask that you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, please step outside of the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hands. I will recognize you and ask you to come to the podium. Secretary Jones must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name, and state your address. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak. However, focus on your comments and we'll keep track of your time. This meeting is being conducted in accordance with the Nebraska Open Meetings Law. A copy of the Open Meetings Law is at both exits. I'll now call for a roll call of members.
Bolziger?
Here.
Poleska?
Here.
Pounds?
Pounds.
Kading?
Here.
Hanson?
Present.
Radner?
Here.
Schroeder?
Here.
Boswell?
Here.
Heinrich?
Here.
Item 3, approval of minutes from the April 4th, 2023 meeting.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion by Radner, second by Schroeder to approve the minutes. Any further discussion? Please vote.
Break it.
Ready.
Travis, did you, or is it?
Yes, ma'am.
You have yay on there.
You have yay, so. But I didn't have the option to check the box.
Did you get it?
I didn't get the invite to approve.
Were you following me? Are you following me?
Yeah.
I'm following you.
It shows all yays, but.
Yeah.
Even your name.
I had to do it twice, so I hit the open electronic voting ballot.
Did you see that?
Is it down there?
You just scroll down. It's kind of squirrely today.
Is your mouse weird?
Weird.
Haven't tried it. Recall.
That's it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Your disrespect.
Damn technology.
Let's go paint it.
Up to here. Yes, 3 days. That's why he's showing it.
You might refresh the screen too, something's over.
Yeah, he just did.
See, where's mine's? That's where mine's sitting here, but.
Sorry, folks.
Technical problems here.
You want to solve the reopen and revote?
Yeah.
Gosh. Progress. Stalling.
There was a problem. Try again.
There you go.
See, I'm.
Yeah, you're not popping up though.
He's not getting it.
Oh, now it's been cast.
And you're following, right?
You're not following. Now refresh.
I think I'm going to update.
So you can vote three times.
Yes, you can.
My vote counted 2 times already.
So you skip next month?
Yep. I'm sorry. I voted for all the things next month already too. I got a couple abstains in there. No, twice.
Covered everything.
So, always a new guy.
No peer pressure here whatsoever.
Top meeting. Yes, okay.
Join meeting.
Yeah.
There, and then follow.
There you go.
Got it.
Yeah. Okay, there we go.
Okay, here we go.
Problem started. Yeah. Internet's bad.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay. I'm going to open a public hearing to consider and possibly take action on a redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for the Jennings Properties Redevelopment Project for Lots 3, South 10th Street, and addition in the City of Blair, Washington County, Nebraska. Aaron.
Mr.
Chairman, tonight we have a TIF application from Jennings Parts, and it's on the city lots that we sold on South 10th Street. Jennings Plant Services bought Lot 3 of that property. I have a map here that is in your TIF application to kind of show you where that piece of property is.
At this time, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask that we receive and place on file the application.
I'd ask for someone to receive and place and comment, file on comments.
So moved.
They're going to have to, because I didn't have that in there as a motion. So we'll have to use the board. And I apologize.
Say it's in the package.
Do you need a clicker?
Huh? Yeah, you need to use the clicker. So who
Heinrich. And who was the second again?
Ed second.
Go ahead and vote.
Boswell, okay. Go ahead and vote. Everyone knows how to use them? It's down here.
Putting this in.
Do man.
Yeah. You want to say yes or no?
Do we roll now?
Putting this on file.
Jim. Can you use your clicker?
I did, yeah.
Okay, Don.
Is everyone? It's not so.
Is this John?
Everyone got it up?
Yep.
And down?
All commission members present voting aye.
This turned into a show.
Okay.
I'm sure we're smarter than.
Aaron.
Okay.
Let's try now.
So it's a TIF application from Jennings Plant Services. It's a machine shop repair manufacturing business. It's located on South 10th Street on the lots that we developed after as we were developing the Dollar General property. And there's an image of the lot right there. As part of the purchase of those lots, the buyer had to submit a proposal and meet certain criteria to even be considered for the purchase of the property. And that purchase was ultimately approved by the city council, and the purchase went forward. Jennings is applying for a TIF to help move their project forward. The plan is to move their business and employees, grow their business on that site. And I have the applicant here. Also, we have our representative from Barrett Holm, Michael Sands, who is the city TIF attorney here. He's going to present the redevelopment plan that you've just accepted and explain, you know, how this process works. I know there's a number of members that have not had considered a TIF application before and may have some questions. So with that, I present Michael.
Thanks, Aaron. Mr. Chairman, commission members, Michael Sands, 1700 Farnham, Omaha, Nebraska. As Aaron said, I'm the city's TIF attorney. Like Aaron said, you know, there are some new faces in here, and even for those that have gone through it before, I think it's probably helpful to give a bit of a refresher. It's been a while since we've done one of these, a couple of years it seems. So the Planning Commission's role in all of this is a recommending body with respect to both the blighted and substandard areas which need to be designated before a TIF project can be approved, and with respect to a redevelopment plan, and that's what you have before you tonight. And really, you know, according to the statutes at least, it's the job of the Planning Commission to make sure that what is presented conforms to the city's comprehensive plan for land use and development. Obviously, you know, there's more consideration that can go into these things, but according to the statutes, at least, that's kind of the main determination that the Planning Commission is tasked with making, and either making a positive recommendation or a negative one to the city council for ultimate adoption of a plan. With respect to some context, you know, I'm sure most of you, if not all of you, have some familiarity with TIF, what it is. It's essentially a local incentive, one of the few true incentives that municipalities can really control and have at their disposal for development. And what it does is it provides an incentive for developers to build projects in these blighted and substandard areas. And in return, certain eligible costs, which are most usually associated with public improvements. So you're talking about infrastructure costs. There are other things like land acquisition, professional fees, site preparation, things like that that are also eligible. But the most traditional ones would be, you know, those true public improvements. So if TIF is approved for a project, it allows the developer to recoup some of those eligible costs up to the amount that it would support based on the estimated increase in that tax assessed valuation from where it currently is to where it will be once the project is built, to recoup that amount for up to 15 years. So, you know, to one of the biggest tenets, I guess I would call it, of TIF, to provide that incentive is the determination of whether the project could proceed or could occur without the grant of TIF. That's kind of the golden rule in TIF. It's meant to fill a gap. The project's either too expensive, the area is, you know, it has some unique characteristics that maybe, you know, more work needs to be done, more site prep. You know, it's more expensive to build than on a greenfield location that doesn't have those issues. So that's just kind of the basic context of it, and I'm certainly happy to answer any questions that you have about TIF in general. So with respect to this project and redevelopment plan, my role in the city is obviously, you know, to put this pretty plan together, but also more so to make sure that, you know, all of the statutory requirements are being met, that everything within the statutes that needs to be present in these projects is present and qualifies for TIF. Under the law, this one certainly does. I'll highlight just a few of the, I think, relevant factors. So as Aaron said, it's at the intersection of Wilbur and South 10th. I didn't realize it was previously city-owned, so it sounds like this was, you know, a concerted effort to incite development in this area by the city. The Jenny Properties and their representatives can certainly speak a little more than I can on the actual use, but according to the application and the plan, it'll be a commercial slash industrial building, I think, for the applicant's own business to do industrial servicing business, which I assume that they currently run and will be expanded. Page 2 goes over the compliance with the comprehensive plan. I see no issues there. The future use map designates the area for commercial, which this would certainly fall under. And I think it hits a lot of those check marks in the comprehensive plan. Per the application, the applicant will generate quite a few jobs. They'll be able to expand their business, which are all, you know, very much goals within the comprehensive plan to both attract new businesses, but also allow existing businesses within the community to grow, which would be the case here. No zoning changes is required. Just wanted to highlight that. As for the actual TIF amount, the current property valuation is $23,450. They estimate that once the project is built, that the completed valuation would be about $973,000. So you have about a $950,000 increase in property tax valuation. And they are asking for $250,000 in TIF, which would be within the realm of what that would generate if it does hit that $973,000 mark that they've estimated. So I'm certainly happy to answer any questions you have and appreciate your time.
What makes this lot unique to the other lots on 10th Street, or is it any more trouble building on it, or they all got the same problem?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's been designated within a blighted and substandard area, so I'm not sure I can speak to the exact characteristics of this lot and whether this, you know, that's the thing about blighting. You don't typically spot blight. You take a large right. area, and it's just kind of a balancing or weighing of the factors of, you know, all the parcels. So some parcels, you know, might be extremely blighted, others might be, you know, not so much. But under the law, at least, it's considered blighted and substandard. I would say for this one, probably the biggest expense that would make it within that category is just the lack of infrastructure. So you have to extend utilities and paving, things like that. You don't have that infrastructure in place. It has to be extended on the lot that you wouldn't necessarily have that issue if, you know, if you were moving into a different building that was already there or a lot that already had those sort of amenities on there.
Well, I'm sure we'll be setting precedents here and be uniform and proportionate. Every one of these lots is going to be the exact same because you've got them all blighted. They're all that way. So whatever we vote tonight is going to be for every one of these single lots.
I think it really depends on the project and the application. The application, they made a strong case for that this particular project needed, you know, some additional funding. If you have one that, you know, does not lay that out in the application, I don't think you're bound by this precedent. I really think it's more on a project by project basis as opposed to comparable lots, in my opinion.
With the cost of the extension of the utilities going up and down that street, could that be used against the surrounding lots at some point, or, you know, shared, or is this taking the bulk of that extension of that build down to that lot itself, or would that benefit? I'm assuming it would benefit every lot you pass going down there.
I think that might be a better question for Aaron, but I believe that there is infrastructure at least adjacent to it, and it'll just be extended on the lots. And I think that's probably the case for all
so
of those.
So your water
lots.
Sewer is going down to Main
Avenue
right now.
So each lot will be responsible for extending that onto their own lot.
Extensions that way.
Okay. I think it's already been done.
You mentioned they're asking for $250,000. If they make that up before the 15 years, then does it get done before the 15 years is up?
Correct. Yeah, that's an important point. So the city has no, in these sorts of projects where it's completely developer-oriented and the city isn't building any of the infrastructure, the city has no risk. So if it, you know, if there's a balance at the end of the 15 years, on that TIF note that would be issued, that's forgiven. And to the chairman's point, if it pays off in 12 years or any time earlier, then it would just be taxed as normal, and all of the taxes would go to the taxing jurisdictions.
Michael, one thing that might be helpful: can you address who's going to be purchasing the note and you know, the city's obligation when it comes to that?
Yeah, so if and when the redevelopment plan would be approved, the next step, so to speak, would be what's called the redevelopment contract. So the plan itself is really just kind of a, you know, 10,000 foot view of kind of outlining the plan, but more importantly, just authorizing the use of TIF towards this, you know, towards this project. It's kind of a gatekeeping sort of document, for lack of a better term. But so if and when this were to be approved, the city would enter into what's called the redevelopment contract, which is actually the binding legal agreement between the city and the developer, which would essentially say, you know, so long as you do what you say you were going to do and build out this project, the city will issue a note, and that note will have a, you know, first priority lien on that increment. And as far as how that note is exchanged, it's most often developers need it as part of their construction financing. There is that gap, so they have a little bit of equity in the project. You know, they have a construction loan from the bank, and then there's some sort of gap. So they would go out and get a separate loan, another loan from the bank, and monetize that TIF note that's issued from the city as collateral on another loan. It's really, you know, just another construction loan under a different name. And the city issues that note usually, you know, not for actual monetary consideration, as you would normally see, because the city is in fact the borrower in the sense. They're the one issuing the promissory note and signing it and say, we'll pay you this money back. But they're doing that for the promise that the developer will actually incur eligible costs in that amount. So there's not really, you know, actual bond revenues that change hands. It's really the bond revenues are that promise to incur those eligible costs. And the reason for that is when TIF originally started, it was most often these things, the infrastructure and the eligible improvements, were actually done by the city as part of these projects. So you'd have the redeveloper might come in and actually pay the city the money to do the, you know, their portion of that infrastructure. The city would do it and then pay them back. Now it's just the developer. It's easier and more cost effective for the developer to just do it all in exchange for that promise. Is that?
But ultimately, if for say some reason the valuation isn't sufficient or something strange happens, like the legislature, you know, puts a cap on property tax rates, and so therefore it just doesn't generate the amount of revenue, the city's not obligated to cover that.
Correct, yeah. The city's full faith and credit does not underwrite the note. It's only the increment. If there are any, you know, sort of legal item that was passed, any sort of legislation that was passed that inhibited it, the city would not be in any sort of trouble. It's just if there's a shortfall for any reason, it'll keep rolling over to the next year, and the city will keep paying out as much as they get in that increment. But when the 15-year ends, that shortfall is completely forgiven.
So if everybody decides they want TIF money that has these lots, and they all present a good case, is there an issue with everybody that owns a lot getting TIF money?
No, no legal issue. No, I guess that would be the short answer. There's certainly not a legal issue. You know, TIF can be politicized, and there are certain folks that certainly don't love it. So those are separate considerations than under the law, but legally, no issues at all. So long as it's a blighted and substandard area, there could be a TIF project on you know, every lot, conceivably.
I read through this thing about a week ago, and I forget, but I saw somewhere where the interest rate is 1.25%. I know current rates are much higher than that. Where'd that come from?
So the request was for $250,000 in principal, and the 1.25% was based on my calculations on how much the TIF could generate, amortized over a 15-year period, and that was the maximum interest rate. So we don't want to approve more in TIF, accounting for principal and interest, than we're calculating it would generate as a future value later on. So that's why it's low. If they were to take it to a bank and monetize it, the bank would not give them $250,000. They would do their own calculation at 7% or whatever rates are at, and that principal would be reduced down into the private loan that they would get from a bank, certainly.
So the benefit we're giving is about 1.25% instead of 7% or something like that.
If I had my spreadsheet in front of me, I could calculate it. I'm guessing that it's probably, if you're looking at money to a bank versus what it is on paper here, it's probably 85 cents to a dollar would be my guess if you were to factor in the market rates, somewhere around there.
Okay. Any more questions from the committee?
Yeah, what happens if they sell the property? If, say, the project is sold off, then what happens to that TIF loan?
Yeah, so they're in the redevelopment contract. When and if we get to that stage, there are certain requirements in there, you know, requiring that they would provide us notice to be sold. They can't sell it to an entity that could, you know, that would result in the land becoming tax exempt. Because certainly a big part of the benefit for cities in TIF is that when it does roll back onto the tax rolls and the TIF is done, you want the benefit of that increased valuation. So there's that requirement. But those are all things that can be addressed. Typically, there's not, you know, unless it's a unique circumstance, there's not usually a clause that says they can't sell it. Just other clauses that would protect its value and continued use for the intended purpose of the project as originally approved.
So do we have a, excuse me, maybe I missed this, but do we have a cap on the amount of TIF money that we can loan, or is that based on a percentage of the project that we're approving?
There's no cap. You know, the maximum is determined either by that, you know, valuation increase and, you know, multiplying that towards the tax, by the tax levy, and then multiplying that number by 99% because the county takes 1%. And then multiplying that by 15 years, that'll tell you the maximum amount of TIF that could be underwritten by the project. But also, the eligible costs that they list have to be at least that amount as well. You would not approve a project that had not enough eligible costs.
To her original question, excuse me again. So if we were looking at, is there a bucket as far as the city of Blair could TIF money wise, I mean, what's our limit that we could do this? So if the other 5 or 10 lots down that road wanted the additional TIF money, we got to run out of money at some point.
Well, there's no money because it's just the increment.
We're just under.
There's no limit because it's just the increment on that particular lot. It's, you know, all the money comes from the developer paying their own property taxes. So there's no, it's not like other grant funds that come from the state or that the city has to, you know, allocate from its general fund. It's really, you know, if you want to look at it, it's kind of just, you freeze that base value and they get, you know, they get all the upside for 15 years. So you're kind of deferring what the city would otherwise receive in tax, or you know, all the tax entities would receive in those increased property taxes. But there's no money coming out of the city's pocket whatsoever.
Since you're not collecting it.
Right. But as I said earlier, one of the fundamental determinations is that the project wouldn't occur but for the TIF. And that's kind of one of the big purposes for it. You know, the city certainly wants to recoup as much tax revenue as it can, but if the project wouldn't occur, it's just going to keep on being a vacant parcel of land and underutilized.
So basically, we're a co-signer and we're basically giving them the collateral to move forward, or we're giving the tax break to get the loan approved.
I didn't hear the
I'm sorry, so we're basically like almost being like a co-signer to some degree with, or forgiving that debt at that point, and then be to give them the leverage to move forward with the project on the tax side of it.
Yeah, it's almost just like a, I think the best way to look at it is just a reimbursement of your property taxes. That's really what it is.
Or deferring it for a period of time.
Yeah, and the city defers its expectation for it, you know, what it would otherwise receive. But it's really just a reimbursement.
Okay. So basically freeing up that cash flow to put that into a traditional loan instead of into your taxes, basically.
Right, because they'd be paying those taxes no matter what. Yeah. You know, they'd be paying that increase no matter what. So it that should be written into their pro forma for the project no matter what, but this will allow them to, you know, instead of essentially, if but for the TIF, they'd be paying that and the additional debt service on that gap in the financing.
Okay. I have a question for staff. I know there's a maximum that you can TIF in the city limits as far as the area. How close are we to that? And if we end up doing it for this lot and doing it for the rest of them on this street,
well, again, the
where are we going to be?
The percentage is for blighted areas. This has nothing to do with that.
Okay.
Because the area has already been declared blighted, and the whole area has been. So whether it's one lot or all the lots doesn't have any effect.
Okay.
Because it's already blighted.
To answer your question, we're allowed up to 35% of the city limits as to be declared as blighted. We're sitting at right around 32%.
Somewhat. There's room for my house. My neighborhood's looking for some blight.
Might have to move.
There's no other question. I want to make sure that I understand what we're voting on here is the redevelopment plan meets our comprehensive plan, and that's basically what we're voting on here after the comments, right? Is that
correct?
I want to make sure I know what we're voting on before we vote.
Correct. It's twofold. One would be a determination that it does in fact comply with the comprehensive plan. The second would be a recommendation for approval based upon that finding to the city council.
Okay, thank you.
I guess I got a question for you, and maybe I'm just hung up on the terminology. I don't understand. I guess we're saying blighted, substandard areas, redevelopment. I mean, are we using this as a tool for something else that's not really designed for? I mean, because in my mind, it seems like this is like an initial development, not a redevelopment. That's why I'm stuck here.
Right. So, I mean, I think that probably goes back to how areas are determined as blighted and substandard.
Okay.
It is not looked upon favorably by cities for administrative purposes or by the legislation, because it wasn't really the intent to just spot blight lots, go on a lot by lot basis and say this is blighted, this is blighted, this is blighted. Because much of the criteria that needs to be met under the definition of blighted and substandard involves census information that's kind of impossible to determine on a lot by lot basis. So it kind of has to be a collection of lots when you look at or when you determine an area is blighted and substandard. And so, you know, by virtue of that fact, you will often loop in maybe undeveloped or vacant lots that perhaps on their own wouldn't meet that criteria, because it's pretty hard to meet, you know, criteria that involves unemployment rates or things like, you know, things like that when there's nobody on the lots.
So I guess with what you're saying, that how large area are we looking at that's blighted? I mean, is the Dollar General across the street blighted?
Yeah, so do you have the plan in front of you? There actually is a map.
It's in here.
I'll try and tell you what you need.
Oh yeah, perfect. And we just redid this a year and a half ago, I want to say.
Okay.
2 years ago.
So you can kind of see this whole area here, as well as then up into the main part of the city, part over here down Highway 30 as well south. But again, what Michael was stressing was when that first was done, it's a lot of the blighted properties maybe were some of those houses and other areas that have, you know, been there for quite a while and really haven't been developed much.
Before the hailstorm.
Yeah, but it was extended down into this new area simply to help assist with development, because from the city's perspective, this area needs to be developed.
Sure.
Quick question. So once if they come in and develop that, they're not considered blighted anymore, correct? But the area around them would be. So would you consider that whole area blighted?
They're still considered blighted.
Okay.
Now, it wouldn't be a good candidate for a TIF project, another TIF project, at least for a while, because you'd have a nice structure there. And so most often when you have a TIF project, you either have developer coming in and knocking down something old or rehabbing something old, or it's in, you know, true infill where it's vacant. So it is still blighted under the law. It just very likely won't be a part of any sort of TIF project for a long time.
I And it's not uncommon then that eventually as an area maybe more fully develops out, that the city sometime in the future would have another blight study done, and you'd actually remove that area then from the blighted, and then you're back to the percentage issue. So if you remove an area, but you got another part of your town that now needs it, you can use move around that 35%.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. To Phil's point, it's a lot easier to unblight than it is to blight. The council can just do it via a resolution.
So you mentioned census block. That's why I was curious. So it's not limited to a census block. It's like a zoning, or we can determine as a city where that area is. It's not clumped. Okay.
Yeah. It's just census blocks are often. That information is often looked to because it's so closely aligned to the criteria and the statute.
Makes sense.
Anything else from the Planning Commission? Third one, is there anything in writing?
No.
Okay, audience, and I think we have someone back here would like to speak.
Mindy Rump, RUMP, 1663 Washington, here in Blair. And actually, I was just going to mention what Phil was just talking about. TIF is kind of hard to understand, but we have had sections of Blair that have TIF has been removed from, like the Two Rivers Bank. That's an example. That was a TIF project. It was a blighted area where the Super B Motel used to be, and that was considered substandard and blighted. So it was in the TIF district. That project was built, and then it's been removed since then. So that's why we were able to extend it along that 10th Street corridor to include that in our TIF district instead. So I think this is really great. I'm really proud of everybody because we're getting some education here tonight. And I think hopefully we can talk about this at our city council meeting next Tuesday as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else like to speak in this issue?
Good evening, Dave Drew, present on behalf of the applicants, Jennings Properties.
Spell the last name for us too, please.
D-R-E-W. A lot of great questions. Project specific, one thing I want to address why this project is a good project for the zoning area. One of the reasons why that area was declared slum and blighted was to attract businesses to get built in there and more industrial type businesses. Jennings Properties is going to lease to their primary business, which is Jennings Millwright Services, which is welders, and they go fix things in factories. This location is good because it's close to Cargill and that campus where they have big machines that break, and they need subcontractors to come in and fix their stuff. So this is a business that Blair needs and needs to grow. The goal is to then increase the Cargill campus, which is a primary source of jobs and growth in the community. So as a project, businesses like this that introduce skilled tradesmen are important to support. In terms of some of the cost questions, this project, as they're seeing, they're projecting $325,000 of costs that would be TIF eligible. In order to receive the TIF, they have to give receipts that say, we're giving this much for land acquisition, this much for landscaping, this much for engineering, which ensures that the project that gets built isn't the cheapest, nastiest, dirtiest lean-to they can operate out of. It's actually a good building that adds value, so that when it goes on the tax rolls, now you're taxing a good building. When you're trying to attract new businesses, you have a good, attractive looking building that you would want to build next to. And so it gives you as a planning commission some protection there, that what gets built is what you want to get built, because $325,000 is improvement instead of just the sticks and bones. So it should help the actual building that is being built. There were a couple questions. Yours was great on the redevelopment. Sounds like we're doing one thing for something else. One way that I've looked at it is, at one point in time, the city has their engineers do their blight study. And at that point in time, they say, this area needs work. It's blighted, it's not being developed. And so they say, this area, we're going to try and encourage projects that we want to support our comprehensive plan. And as they get built, eventually it comes out. So, yeah, this is the first one, and there's probably some precedence to it. If the goal is to have each of those lots be built with a nice building that's going to have businesses that support what we're trying to grow, it makes sense to throw TIF money here because there aren't a whole lot of industrial lots where somebody can put a business, and you want those to build. Another necessity of financing thing is to drive down and look at it. I think Hicks Drywall has done some dirt work, and outside of that, even though the lots have sold, nothing's actually being built there. And so, yes, I think you're right, you should expect a lot of TIF applications, but it's probably a good use of TIF to build that street into a strong business area with nice new buildings that can support businesses that, frankly, are probably going to support the Cargill campus, which is what I think we want to do as a community. So I think this is a good project. It's a good first project to go through as a demonstration of this is the type of business we want to support and grow what we're trying to build. What questions? Oh, Mr. Radner, your $250,000. To me, the dollar amount of TIF always confuses the heck out of me. It took me years to figure it out. I think it's always easiest to throw that aside. What you're really doing is saying we're not going to tax the increase in the property valuation until $250,000 has been paid, and then we're going to. Is a different way to do it. If I look at the $250 first, I get confused. So I always look at it at the end, and if the 15 years up and 250 has been paid, we're done. If more than 250 has been paid, we stop with the 250. If 200 has been paid, Jennings have to start paying their real estate taxes. So think of 250 at the end as what you don't receive, and when that's paid, then it starts being taxed on the difference. Is that a different way of saying the same thing? But
I appreciate that. Thank you.
If I don't do it that way, my head spins. Does anybody have any questions for me or the applicants?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else from the audience? Phil.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, if I could, Phil Green, City Administrator. Just wanted to emphasize a little bit more on the but-for criteria, because I think this is one of the issues that elected officials and you as the commission kind of really wrestle with when it's bare, you know, because it's very simple to look at one lot, one developer, and think, well, of course they're going to build it if I say no, because this is where they want to go. That's really not the way you need to look at it. What you need to look at it is realize there are other places they could go build this if they chose to. We want them here. You know, so as a community, we've said we've blighted it because we want development to occur here. We don't want them to go 3 miles outside of town where he can easily build this, probably on land that costs him less money, because we want it here. And so the but-for is but-for you agreeing to this and ultimately the council agreeing to this, it might go someplace else. They could go across the river into Iowa. There's all kinds of other places they could be. So I just want to encourage you, when you think but-for, realize, you know, it could be a lot of other places, but we ultimately want it here. And but-for potentially getting it, we wouldn't have it here.
Thank you. Anyone else? I'll close the public hearing, and any comments before we vote?
No, I think I'm good.
So I'll take a recommendation for approval from somebody.
I'd recommend approval as presented.
Second.
Recommended approval by Hanson, second by Kading. Anything else? Any other discussion? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
So that'll go to the City Council next Tuesday. Item 5, consider resolution 2023-1 recommending approval of a redevelopment plan entitled Redevelopment Plan for the Jennings Properties Redevelopment Project to the Mayor and City Council of the City of Blair. Who's Aaron? Or who's there's nothing?
Chairman, probably no need for any further discussion. This is just your formal recommendation that, this item be sent before the city council.
So moved?
Adopt the resolution. Okay. Katie made a motion to adopt the resolution. Is there a second?
Second
by Valeska. Any further comments? Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
And that will also go to the city council next Tuesday. Report from staff.
Aaron was officially going to introduce me, but I already beat him to it. So anyway, again, Phil Green, city administrator. I just wanted to take this opportunity to come and say hello. Many of you I know fairly well from my previous time up here. But again, it's my privilege to being able to take over as city administrator for Rod Storm. Today was his official last day. And so very excited to be here. For those of you who don't know me very well, I was the assistant city administrator here for 15 years. Left back in 2020 and went down to the city of Papillion, served as their deputy city administrator for the last 3 years. But very excited to have this opportunity to come back and excited for all the opportunities that we will be having in the months and years to come for all the good development that's going to be taking place. So look forward to getting to know all of you in the days to come. I do want to introduce one other guest that we have with us tonight, and she just wants to kind of get up and say hello to all of you. But Michaela Valentine works for OPPD. She is the Government and Community Relations Manager. And so why don't you come on up, Michaela, and just say hello. And again, we have a very good working relationship with OPPD. And again, Michaela is always one that I can kind of reach out to when we have any issues in town that aren't getting addressed any other way. And so again, having this good relationship is very vital for us. So thank you.
Thank you, Phil. Good evening. As Phil said, I'm Michaela Valentine. My last name is spelled V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N, and I'm with OPPD down on 16th Street in Omaha. It's a pleasure to be with you this evening. This is kind of a landmark event because I was there when Phil was sworn in to Papillion as well in his former position, and now I'm here when he's back with you all. So that's kind of nice. I feel like I've come full circle in my work. My position with OPPD is to be your liaison into OPPD. So if you ever have any needs, questions, concerns, if anyone approaches you and brings an OPPD related issue to you, you can always reach out to me. I'm going to pass my cards around for you all. My cell phone number is on here for you all. And I would fully expect for you to give me a call at any time if you have any questions about anything OPPD's doing, whether it's our projects or if someone comes to you and they have a customer owner complaint or concern. You can always reach out to me. And there's another individual on my team, Dustin Marvel. He's in Kennard tonight at the village meeting. So we try to make the rounds when we can. You'll see us from time to time. We do have over 250 elected and appointed officials that the two of us are responsible for in a 13 county area. So we're from the bottom part of Burke County all the way down to Rulo, so the Nebraska-Kansas border. So we're in that service territory working with all of our public officials. We desire to be helpful to you on anything that you need that's energy related. And I thank you for the opportunity to be before you tonight to introduce myself.
Thank you. So does anybody want to adjourn the meeting?
No, I'd like to talk to staff.
Oh, go ahead.
Question for staff. Two meetings ago, we had a question on here about a discussion on driveways and 3 feet difference from the side yard and different things like that. And I have some questions in regards to that and would like to know if that will be brought up at our next meeting because I have issues. You brought it up to us two meetings ago. The discussion didn't go well and I'm kind of concerned with some of the things that have happened.
Okay. I guess, do you want to have a discussion about it? Do you want to make a recommendation on a change to the code? Or?
Oh, I'd like to do all kinds of things. But no, I think that it needs to be addressed because there are several places out there that are not following what your code is right now, and that code isn't being enforced, and I don't know how you're going to do that. But I think that's something that needs to be taken care of.
And I fully agree. And that was one of the things that outgoing Administrator Storm and I had talked about, that we need to get a resolution to this. So I guess my approach was going to be to begin to have some conversations with the elected officials. That's one of the issues that I wanted to address with them a little bit, see what kind of consensus we have there, ultimately bring that back to you. Obviously, and I think this is where we're in 100% agreement on, if we have a regulation, we should be enforcing it.
Yes.
And if we're not going to enforce it because ultimately the Planning Commission and the Council say that it's a ridiculous rule and we shouldn't have it, then we need to change the rule and then therefore allow people to do what some seem to be doing. But
exactly.
Nothing's worse than having a regulation that you don't enforce.
Well, and that's just it. And they say, well, they did it, why can't I? And I have issue with that.
Yeah, and I'm with you 100%.
I'm done.
They did it without asking. Usually.
Well, it was approved by us to do it one way, and they did it another.
So, does anybody want to adjourn?
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Second.
Motion by Kading, second by Radner to adjourn the meeting. Please vote.
All commission members present voting aye.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, folks.